Well, good morning. We are glad that you're listening to Wyndham Community Chapel's service of December 6, 2020. This is the second Sunday of Advent as we prepare ourselves to celebrate the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Pastor Gary DeHaas, and it's good to have you listening from your homes or wherever you are today. As we spend time together, I pray that the presence of God and in His Word, I pray that this service will be a blessing to you today. I want to encourage you to come out on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock as we join together for gathered worship. For many of you, our safety protocols make it safe for you to come and worship with your brothers and sisters in the Lord, and how important that is to gather together to do that. But I know that there are some of you who are highly susceptible physically and are still unable to join us, and I just want you to know that we miss your presence with us, we miss you gathering together with us, and your presence is missed as we gather on Sundays together. Well, today we are called into worship from God's Word with these words from Psalm 9. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Let's open together in prayer. Father, it is the desire of our hearts to praise your name together this morning. As we sit quietly in your presence and recall all your wonders, all the ways you have expressed your grace and your mercy to us, it does cause us to rejoice in your salvation of us and sing praises to your holy name. You are our great God, and there is none like you. Especially during this Advent season, we rejoice that you sent your Son to pay the price of our rebellion against you. We rejoice in the love you have for us that offers this gift of salvation through trust in the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross as payment for our sins. We rejoice that you have welcomed us into your forever family as sons and daughters. Accept our expressions of worship this day and in this time that we spend together. And we ask that as we meet with you today, that you draw our hearts, our minds, and our souls to you. Give us the hope of glory and the desire to live our lives to please you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, I pray. Amen. Just a couple of reminders to us today. We are kicking off this morning our Gift of Hope in partnership with the Branches Pregnancy Resource Center. We're going to provide Christmas presents for some deserving folks in our area. This is our second year of doing it. You may recall last year. You're invited to share in this gift giving by taking a star off the Christmas tree here at church, buy the present that's listed, wrap it, put the star back on the outside of the present, and bring it back and place it under the tree by December 20th. Like I said, the stars are present here today on the tree. Any leftover stars will be available online, or you can give me a call, and they'll be available on this Tuesday, December 8th. Also, just want to remind you that we do have a Christmas Eve service on the 24th here at the church building at 6 o'clock. It'd be a great opportunity to invite your neighbors or your friends to come and join us here as we begin our celebration of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, even the night before. And then also, it's our intent, beginning on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock on January 6, 2021, that our men's Bible study will begin here at the church. And again, we'll be using masks and social distancing to keep everyone safe. But we will begin January 6, 7 o'clock Wednesday nights for our men's Bible study. Would you join me as we spend time before the Lord in prayer this morning? Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your grace and your mercy to us. The fact that you long to meet and talk with us today reminds us of your great love for us and the desire you have to deepen and strengthen our relationship with you. For it is in your presence that peace is found and strength for living is granted. In your presence, our life's struggles are brought back into perspective and we are reminded of your promises and provision for us. Your powerful and comforting presence as we go about our lives is the source of our stability and peace. Your Holy Spirit guides us onto the path of righteousness as we look for your direction. And as we exercise our faith in you, your grace sustains us through the struggles we are facing, and your mercy rescues us when we lose our way. Lord, we acknowledge that it is easy for us to be self-sufficient as we live here on earth. We recognize our tendency to figure things out on our own and choose our own path through this life. But I pray that you would help us to live in constant awareness of your presence and in complete dependence upon you. Lord, I want to continue to pray for Joe Conroy in his battle with cancer. As he undergoes daily radiation treatments, I pray that you will strengthen him and give him tolerance for the treatments. I ask that you encourage him and give him peace. We also want to pray for E.J. Roberts, who continues his recovery from knee replacement surgery. Give him quick healing and smooth rehabilitation. Help him to make a full and complete recovery. For others who are experiencing illness or loneliness or financial hardships or fractured relationships, I pray they will look to you and your word for wisdom and direction. I pray your Holy Spirit will guide them to your will as they trust in you and not their own understanding. And now, Father, as we open your word, would you open our eyes to see your truth? Would you give us hearts that long to know and do your will? Would you give us spiritual insight through the Holy Spirit to know how to apply these truths into our very lives? As we grow into fully devoted followers of yours, use this time to further that relationship, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I said at the very beginning, this is the second Sunday of Advent. And today we light the candle of faith. Faith, according to God, is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And we are told that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is foundational to an eternal relationship with God. During this Advent season, we will have many opportunities to express that faith and to communicate that faith with family, friends, and neighbors. Your faith may even be tested during this Christmas season, as it was with Mary, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 26. There it says, "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end.' 'How will this be?' Mary asked the angel, 'since I am a virgin.' The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. You know, no matter what you face in life, your faith in God will always carry you through. I trust that during this Advent season, your faith will grow and your love for God will increase. Would you pray with me? Father, we have heard enough to believe. Thank you for the people in our lives who shared their faith with us that we might place our trust in you for eternal salvation. Help us to take the many opportunities we will have during this Christmas season to share our faith with others, that they may respond to Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world and lover of our souls. May our faith increase each day as we trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, if you have a Bible with you, I invite you to turn to Isaiah chapter 9, and we're going to be looking at verse 6. This will be our text for the next three times, the next two Sundays and Christmas Eve, as we're looking at the names of Jesus that Isaiah prophesies about in this verse of Isaiah 9:6. Today we are looking at Jesus, our wonderful Savior. There Isaiah writes, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." This prophecy of the coming Christ tells us that the child that was to be born would have some pretty amazing names and high expectations. Of course, the one that Isaiah is speaking of is Jesus. According to Isaiah, he would be called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And as we look at Isaiah's prophecy of the coming Messiah, it is interesting to note how he describes Jesus. And I suppose that Isaiah could have described Jesus in many different ways, but he chose these initial four descriptions. And I believe that it is significant in our celebration of Advent, a time of preparation for the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So over the next 3.5 weeks, we will look at each of these four names in detail. Today, we look at Christ as our Wonderful Counselor. We know that Jesus is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He is the Creator of the universe. His name is above every name, and at his name every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. In that way, we can describe Jesus as wonderful. But that's not what Isaiah is talking about here. The word used by Isaiah to describe Jesus means a miracle. You see, Jesus is a miracle counselor sent by God into the world to provide the way of salvation to a needy people. As a Son of God, he brought the counsel of God directly to mankind, showing us the way to eternal life. Later in the book of Isaiah, we find that the author speaks of Jesus again when he says in chapter 11 and verse 2, "The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." The Bible places a high premium on wise counsel. Wisdom and counsel are important, Let's quickly look at two verses that talk about wise counsel. In Psalm 32, verse 8, it says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. And then in Job chapter 12, in verse 13, to God belong wisdom and power. Counsel and understanding are His. You know, counseling today is at an all-time high in our society. From Dr. Phil to David Ramsey to Dear Abby, people are seeking advice. In fact, I heard about a counseling center's hotline voice message that read, "Thank you for calling. If you are obsessive-compulsive, please press 1 repeatedly. If you are codependent, please ask someone to press 2 for you. If you have multiple personalities, please press 3, 4, 5, and 6. If you are paranoid delusional, remember that we know who you are. Even while you have been holding, we have been tracing this call. If you are schizophrenic, listen carefully, and a little voice will tell you which number to press. If you are manic depressive, it really doesn't matter which number you press. No one is going to answer anyway. Have a good day." I even heard about some so-called Christian counseling that seemed a bit off to me. Seems a distraught man brought his wife to see the pastor. The woman was listless and unresponsive. After about 30 minutes of futile attempts to counsel them, the pastor walked over to the woman, pulled her from the chair, wrapped his arms around her, and gave her a passionate kiss. The pastor turned to the husband and said, "There, that's all she needs, about 3 times a week." The man paused and then replied, "But, Pastor, I can only bring her in on Thursdays." Now, there's certainly nothing wrong with seeking advice and counseling when you have a particular need in your life. In fact, the Bible encourages it. However, we must not lose sight of the fact that we as believers have access to the most wonderful counselor imaginable, Jesus Christ. And what makes him such a wonderful counselor? Well, there are many characteristics I could talk about, but let me just focus on 3 of them this morning. First, he understands your struggles. In Hebrews chapter 4, we find these words, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin." Jesus gets it. Jesus understands it. He can relate to you. Sometimes when we are going through a difficult situation and someone says, "I understand what you're going through," it seems pretty empty because unless they've gone through the same situation, how can they possibly understand your problem? But Jesus does understand. He knows exactly what you are going through. When you come to Him in need of counsel, He knows your situation. He knows your heart, and He knows your mind. Because of this fact, verse 16 of Hebrews chapter 4 tells us that we should approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Have you ever been betrayed? He has. Have you ever been wrongly accused? He has. Have people ever gossiped about you? Have you ever suffered physical pain? Have you ever been in physical need? Have you ever felt lonely? Have you ever suffered loss? Have you ever been afraid? Have you ever felt that you have reached the bottom and there is no way up? Jesus understands. The Bible tells us that the Word became flesh and He made His dwelling among us. Jesus was fully human like you and me. He knows how mean people can be. He knows how rough life can get. He understands your trouble. Come to Him. He understands your struggles. But not only does He understand your struggles, He cares for you too. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, it says, "Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you." You know, some counselors only care as long as you can pay the bill. Not Jesus. He cares about you as a person. He cares about your character. He cares about your spiritual growth and emotional welfare. He cares about the pain you suffer. He considers you of value and of worth. Look at what it says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 26. Jesus is speaking and He says, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Aren't you worth more than the birds that fly around?" God thinks so. He thinks you have value. He thinks that you have worth. He thinks that you are worth a lot. He thinks so much of you that He sent His Son to die for you, to rescue you from your pain and suffering, to give you new hope, new life, and salvation. God cares for you. He cares so much that He will help you with your problems. He will help you deal with them. That's why He's called the Wonderful Counselor. He's not going to leave us to fend for ourselves. You have probably heard it said, God helps those who help themselves. But the truth of the matter is that when you have reached the bottom, God helps those who can't help themselves. When you see no way out, God steps in if you call on Him. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, He gives us this promise. "Come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Folks, that's a promise. He will not turn His back on us. He will not abandon us. God cares for us. So Jesus, our Wonderful Counselor, understands our struggles and cares for us like no other. And finally, He commits Himself to us. Jesus wants to have a personal relationship with each of us. Look at what the Bible says in John chapter 10 and verse 27. "My sheep listen to My voice. I know them, and they follow Me." This verse tells me that Jesus speaks to us. If we have a personal relationship with Jesus, He is committed to us, and He talks to us. How does Jesus speak to us today? Well, first, through the Bible. Look at what it says in Psalm 119. "Your word is a lamp to My feet and a light to My path." Or in the New Testament, the familiar words of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. "How from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." God speaks to us through His written word. But He also speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. Look at what it says in John chapter 16, verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. And back a few chapters in John chapter 14, verse 25, Jesus said, "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." You may say, "Well, I have never heard the Holy Spirit talk to me." Well, let me ask you, have you ever done something wrong and felt guilty about it? Well, that's good, because that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Part of his job is to keep track, to keep us on track. He does that sometimes with conviction. Or have you ever had a verse of Scripture come to you out of the blue? That may be the Holy Spirit trying to teach you something. Or have you ever thought about a friend or family member and wondered how they were doing? That may just be the Holy Spirit prompting you to send a card, make a call or email or text or write a letter. You see, the Holy Spirit still speaks today. Well, the third way God speaks today is through the church. The church is the world's largest support group. Every single person in this room or listening this morning has problems. We all struggle to live good and godly lives, lives that are free from sin and selfishness. It doesn't matter whether today is your first time in church or you've been going to church every Sunday faithfully for 50 years. We all struggle to overcome our sinful nature and its expressions. We are all just fellow strugglers trying to make it through and bring glory to God in the process. The church is supposed to be a community where people can be open and honest about their struggles, where we can work together to overcome our problems. This has always been true. Did you know that Moses had a big problem? Back when he was leading the nation of Israel through the wilderness, he was wearing himself out. He was busy, busy, busy. He seemed to agree with the thought that it is better to burn out for God than rust out. However, the truth is both are wrong, and both of them put you out of commission from God's service. Jethro, who was Moses' father-in-law, came to him with some advice. He said to Moses in Exodus chapter 18, "Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them the decrees and laws, and show them the way to live and the duties they are to perform. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. If you do this, and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied." Do you know what Moses did? He listened. He took Jethro's advice. And in Proverbs chapter 15, it says this, "Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed." When someone gives you good advice, take it. Seek out good, sound advice. Find a fellow Christian who is wise, who is living a life that honors God. Someone who is actively seeking a deeper relationship with God and is consistently living it out in their lives. Ask them what they think. Ask two or three godly Christians, people whose lives match their beliefs. Seek out their wise counsel. But be careful who you listen to. A lot of people are very willing to share their ignorance with you. My best counsel to you is listen to people who listen to God. Well, I want to return to the thought that God is committed to you. We started reading from John chapter 10 a minute ago. Let's continue on in verse 27. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Did you know that when you commit yourself to God, He commits Himself to you? When you give yourself to Him, He promises to hold on to you. Look at John chapter 10 and verse 28 again. Circle the words, "No one can snatch them out of my hand." When God says no one, He means no one. God will not allow anyone to keep you away from His love. The Apostle Paul understood this fact when he wrote the book of Romans, and in chapter 8 and verse 38 he said, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Folks, nothing can separate us from the love of God, because if you have committed yourself to Him, He has committed Himself to you. Well, let me give you a challenge this week. Make an appointment with the Wonderful Counselor. Sit down with Him. Open your heart up to Him. Tell Him what's going on in your life. Believe me, there is no heartache that He cannot mend. There is no problem He cannot solve, because He is our Wonderful Counselor. And as our Wonderful Counselor, the Lord Jesus Christ understands your struggles. More than that, He cares for you and commits Himself to you for eternity. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on His shoulders, and He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Today, we remember our great Savior, who is also our Wonderful Counselor, by focusing upon the reason why He came to this earth as a child, to rescue our eternal salvation by taking our punishment through death on the cross. For it is only through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and accepting His sacrifice on our behalf that He can be your wonderful Savior. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to this earth to die and be our Savior. Thank you for redeeming people from their hopelessly lost condition. Thank you for bringing salvation by paying the price our sins required, death. Thank you for taking our place and being our substitute. Father, during this Advent season, we are reminded of your plan to restore our relationship with you through the gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as our Wonderful Counselor, we are blessed that you understand the struggles we have gone through and are currently facing. Help us to share them with you that you might provide help in our time of trouble. But beyond that, you care for us. You know us inside and out. You know our thoughts, our failures, our inadequacies, and you love us anyway. You care for us so much that you died in our place to rescue us from the penalty of our sins. And more than that, you have committed yourself to our well-being in response to our commitment to you. You speak into our lives through the Bible, through your Holy Spirit who lives within us, and through fellow believers who are on the same journey of faith with us. But most of all, you've given us yourself as our constant companion and wonderful counselor, without whom we would be lost. Help us to turn to you in times of need and listen to your counsel and then apply it to our lives for our good and for your glory. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we leave this morning, our benediction comes to us from God's Word in Philippians chapter 1. May God, who has begun a good work in you, continue that work until the day when Christ Jesus returns. May your love overflow more and more. May you continue to grow in knowledge and understanding, so that you can clearly discern what really matters, and so that you may stand pure and blameless before God on the day of Christ's return. The God who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. The Lord bless you. Go in peace.